Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Yeah. Draft day, Johnny Manziel. 5 years later, how am I the man still? Draft day, A. Wiggins. Fuck that other side, bitch, we stay winning. Oh, man, you know I had to do it for you. You know I had to do it for you. Yeah. Suits and ties yelling out, pay the guys, man, I had to do it for you. You know I had to do it for you. You know I had to do it for you. Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man, man, you know I had to. Sometimes I laugh with God about how you can't stop me. I'm his darkest angel probably, but he still got me. Yeah, I'm getting mine, but still I better live. The shit I set aside to make sure that my people getting by. Brunch with some guitar royals and my cup is all oil. You know it's real when your niggas is taking fall for
good
you.
Evening, what's all happening? Oil, so you keep egging me on. And oh, I'm feeling that Drake shit, you, man. You ain't feeling all oil. Anyway, last night I tried, I know it's been a while, voices, y'all, but that boy know much over the clown minute. I started the clown hour. I got so many things going at once, I got them all mixed up. At any rate, I'm your creator of your favorite sports blog, The Clown Times, and that's Clown spelled with K. You can find me on the web. Just do a type in your URL window, www.theclowntimes.net. And you can also find us on Facebook. Where I'm talking smack and interacting with all my fans and whatnot. Let's do a search for The Clown Times. And again, that's kind of spelled with K. You'll be able to find me there as well. But at any rate, you know, with the NBA draft going down, hence the song draft day, I guess, and NBA free agency pretty much well on its way, we got a couple of things I want to go over tonight. First of all, where LeBron's going to head up, and also where Carmelo's going to end up, where we all think so, that both of them are going to end up, as well as maybe touching a little bit on the rest of the big three in Miami, that is one, Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. But anyway, I'm going to discuss that with my main man, y'all know him from the yard /HBCU Sports, my homie, my fellow Aggie, Dwayne Nash. Dwayne, what's up, brother? Welcome to the Clown Hour.
Mr. Brooks, how it goes.
That's an inside joke there, Mr. Brooks. you must have been pretty live at the Aggie cookout, the DC Aggie cookout.
I will admit that it was actually more fear, which is kind of weird. I'll have to explain that to you later. But that's why that all happened. I'm still trying to figure out. And I said it twice. I'm still asking for forgiveness to this day because that was crazy.
I won't hold it against you. I mean, now, if you're a Cowboys fan, I'll pick at you forever. But since you're not, you know, I'll let you off the hook a little bit. But believe it or not, brother,
thank
I've been
you.
Called a hell of a lot worse. So don't even worry about it. trust me on that. So you all know what's been going on, man. You know, your boy LeBron James opting out for free agency, big shocker there, right? So my question to you is, I mean, since there's talk of course, Miami wants to resign him, which I think is going to end up, which I think should be his good, should be his play as well, because it's about winning and about legacy, mm-hmm. instead of being a mercenary, jumping around and around from team to team. And there's some cats talking about the possibility of him going to Houston. Cats talk about him maybe ending up as a member of the Clippers. I don't see that, by the way. And the biggest laugher, by the way, is Cleveland. I mean, if folks don't remember what owner Dan Gilbert said when, like, as LeBron was walking out the door from Cleveland to Miami. So,
yeah.
Why would LeBron go back to that, right? I mean, that's probably the most stupidest thing I've heard as far as the possible destinations. But what say you, my brother? So where do you think LeBron should go, and where do you think he will go?
Okay, to answer your first question of where do I think he will go,
yeah.
in my opinion, it's still a toss-up, actually.
Okay.
The one thing in terms of him opting out early was a situation, in my eyes, where he could make himself look good to both the organization and, oddly enough, to the fans, even though a lot of people didn't see it that way. I would say those who really aren't basketball enthusiasts or those that are extremely knowledgeable about the financial side of the game. I thought that was a fantastic move on his part, because what it did was it showed the organization that, you know what, I'm willing to make a type of move where I won't be making said amount of money. I'll actually take a pay cut, but I'm going to put the ball in the court of, figuratively speaking, of D. Wade and Chris Bosh to go ahead and potentially opt out so that we can all potentially take a pay cut, bring in some more talent, and help us do this thing. Now, with the both of them opting out, it can, oddly enough, go various different ways. And it made me think about this. Now, of course, what potentially do is have all three of them sign back at a lower cost. Or what Pat Riley could do is secretly, I guess, you could say secretly, go to LBJ, say, you know what, maybe we need to go to another direction. Maybe we need to go ahead and replace Chris Bosh and D-Wade with some other guys that will go ahead and take some pressure off of you, potentially sign some other talent as well, and revamp this entire thing, which I completely doubt, but it's not far-fetched. Because you can't look at the fact that D-Wade, who has never played an entire season in his entire career, been in the league for 11 years, and out of those 11 years, four of those years, he's played less than 62 games. So to say that, you know, it's time to part ways with this guy, in my opinion, may not be a far-fetched idea, because I'm thinking they're going to need somebody to come in there and help this guy in order to help LeBron out to win a championship. It's not the team as is good enough to make it to the NBA Finals. But I don't think the way that this team is currently constructed, as we already saw, will be ever good enough to win an NBA Finals if San Antonio continues to do what they're able to do and if other teams can get better.
I
don't think that I've really fully answered your question. But, if they can either convince everyone a pay cut, convince a big-name talent, because, of course, everyone is screaming Carmelo right now, if they can somehow convince them to take a pay cut and bring in another guy that can actually that has good to great skills and also be able to come in under $15 million a year, I think they'll be in a good situation to go ahead and bring LeBron back. If not, the team that you say is a least favorite actually is my number one favorite for him to sign to if he doesn't sign with Miami, and that's Cleveland, because of the fact that they have a lot of cap space. They have a lot of young talent on that team. One of the things that I found as though was an issue with the Miami Heat was the guard play. We know that that's not an issue in Cleveland. And guys, it's a lawn over my head. Yeah, you know, they don't have issue with the guard play with Kyrie Irving there. Yes, they decide to keep Deion Waiters. We know that he's a quality two guard. They just signed Wiggins, so he can play the four. I think that they have a young nucleus and may be able to bring in an additional piece or two to come in and play with those guys and may be able to turn it around. And we know how easy it is to get into. I'm not going to say weak. I hate saying that the East was weak this year. I got my own beats with that. But it'll be easy, in my opinion, for them to at least get into the playoffs and probably be a contender. So Cleveland will be number two, and I think actually the Clippers will be number three, in my opinion. If he ends up anyplace else, it would be a shock to me.
So you make good points about Cleveland. I mean, there's a reason why people are talking about Cleveland. You know, they have arguably better talent than when LeBron was there, even though it's past the 60-plus win. You know, they got great guard play. I mean, Kyrie Irving was healthy, it's the truth. And I think that dynamic, though, between Kyrie and your boy Waiters is tenuous. Downright chaotic, actually. So one of those cats has to go, and I think it's going to be Waiters. So you take Waiters out of the equation. You still have, of course, you know, Kyrie, the aforementioned Kyrie Irving. You have Wiggins, which I think is more of a legit number one than that scrub they got last year, Anthony Bennett. Then you have, this is bona fide scrub. Then you have, what's his name? I mean, the question is, will Lou Aldang be willing to come back? Will Lou Aldang be able to go through another season with the Cavs? Because to me, I'm looking at it this way. This is my starting lineup if LeBron goes to Cleveland, which I still am shaky on. But at any rate, you got
understandable, yeah.
Yeah, you have Kyrie running the point. You have Lou Aldang, LeBron James, Wiggins. And I don't know who'll be playing the five. I assume Anderson Varejao still there.
Wow, that's a very good question. I really do not have an answer for who that number five would be. Matter of fact, who did they select last year in the draft? I really can't remember that guy's name. And he was Bennett. Bennett would come off your bench for you. You know, and I can't remember exactly what type of because he wasn't a fantastic number one overall draft pick. That would be a great rotation, a great young rotation, actually, with Bennett and Wiggins, even though I think Wiggins will probably get the majority of the minutes.
Of course he will, because unlike Bennett, he's good. But go ahead. No wonder the GM was fired, but go ahead.
Oh, no problem. No. I just find that to be very an interesting place, an intriguing place, because I don't know if you've heard, but Atlanta was another team that was also thrown out there as well, because they don't have a lot of space. But if you look at Cleveland's cap room as of right now, going into the next season, they're coming in at around $32 million. So they got a lot of money.
Okay.
They got a lot of room on their books to go ahead and sign some guys and bring some guys in, along with the current talent base that they already have. So I think that would be extremely intriguing to see that happen. And, of course, you know, the Clippers, they got money, and with this new owner, he may be willing to throw some money around as well. You know, we already know he got deep pockets, the Dell man. But, it'll be very interesting to see him play in that base, but I think they would probably, because I don't know, it may be a conflict to have both him and Blake Griffin in the same front court, but who knows? We don't know, and probably we'll never find out.
Yeah, here's one thing. If he being LeBron, if LeBron ends up as a Clipper, it'd be great for Chris Paul because that's his boy. But I think either Blake or DeAndre Jordan's gonna have to go, and I think that it might well be DeAndre Jordan will be the odd man out. So basically, if that's the case, I mean, having the best player on the planet on your squad is not a bad thing. And in the Clippers' case, as long as they're able to hang on to Blake Griffin, it would be a great thing. But for some reason, I'm thinking Miami, it has to be done by a signing trade. If that would happen, I think Miami would want to ask for Blake Griffin. That's just me. I honestly think, because I don't think Pat Riley is actually sold on DeAndre Jordan, would be sold on DeAndre Jordan, even though that's what the Clippers would like to happen. They would like to Jonathan DeAndre Jordan and keep Blake Griffin. But either way, the Clippers wouldn't suck, but it would be better for them if they kept Blake and LeBron James. By the way, do you know, just offhand, because I don't know, like, the amount of cap space that the Clippers have right now?
Yes, I do, because I'm looking at it. They don't actually have a lot of – they don't have a ton of cap space going into this year. Their salary as of right now is about maybe $1 million less than what they were looking at this past season. And if this thing can hurry up and load, I guess I can see who's actually on the books for Cleveland right now. Not Cleveland, I'm sorry, for the Clippers. But you're absolutely correct. The only way that they will be able to do it is a sign and trade, which I completely doubt that Miami would be willing to do. I don't think anyone wants to be attached to being a team that signed and traded away one of the best players of all time on that roster.
Sure.
You know, and then, of course, if he were to do that, wow, they still got a ton of money on the books, and they're losing a ton of players. Interesting. Yeah, that's the only way I see that deal happening with him going to the Clippers, as if it's a sign and trade. But the thing that if he does stay with Miami, the things that would need to have to happen is this. They need to get tougher in the middle. They need somebody that's going to help out with the rebounding because they've been out-rebounded the entire playoffs. Everybody they played against them in the playoffs and finals were able to out-rebound them. They're going to need somebody that's going to be able to come off the bench and give some scoring help. And they're going to need somebody to help out with defense because San Antonio was not only able, when they won their games, beat them by at a minimum of 15 points a game, but they were also able to shoot over 50% per game as well.
Yeah.
So those are just two major issues in terms of defense that I think Miami would have to improve upon if they are going to win an NBA championship next year or just hope that San Antonio gets worse.
I don't think that's going to happen. San Antonio gets worse, by the way.
No.
Because with the development of quality Leonard, I mean, that's the last thing the rest of the league needed to see, especially Miami. Because remember in the finals, when they tied 1-1, Kawhi Leonard, he was quiet. It was basically the Tim Duncan and Ginobili show as well as Parker. But as soon as the coaching genius that he is, Greg Popovich, turned Leonard loose, it was a wrap. Miami had no answer for Leonard. When Miami was befuddled by Leonard, you noticed that Tim Duncan and the rest of the big three for San Antonio did not have statistically good games. It was all about Leonard. Leonard lit the asses up. I'm just going to put it out there. They lit them up. He lit them up. And he basically became the reason why San Antonio was able to boat race and curb stomp the Heat. To put it like one sports personality did, like at a Miami Heat press conference, they were beat by Rodney King. They got beat down, curb stomp, pissed on, had a girl taken from them, whatever cliche you throw at it. That's what happened to Miami Heat in the finals. It was a five-game sweep.
That was one of the things that I don't think anyone expected to happen in the finals. From everything that I remember reading back on and from all the conversations that I've had with people, everyone had the finals going at least 6 or 7 and having it being extremely competitive. So as did I. No one had it going 5. No one had anyone getting blown out, let alone getting blown out in the 4 victories. It almost was a sweep. I mean, Miami controlled the majority of game 2, but San Antonio was still able to come back and make it close. But, it just seemed to be a situation where a lot of Miami's deficiencies were exposed, whereas everyone came into the finals praising Miami with everything that they were doing well throughout the Eastern Conference playoffs. One of the things that I just found everyone talking about as well, right before as D-Wade opted out, a lot of people said, and I quote, he better have opted out. You know, I'm not quoting anybody. Let me take that back. But there are a lot of people that said that, D-Wade should have opted out because of the fact that, he didn't play a lot of games. He didn't show up for the finals. He didn't play well. But this is the same D-Wade that everybody was praising going to the finals, saying that he was well-rested and that he was healthy because of the fact that he only played 54 games that year. So, which one is it? Is it that he was well-rested and healthy, or is he just old? But, you know, it also doesn't help that his three of his worst scoring games in the playoffs came against San Antonio in the finals either.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So,
and, you know, that's, you know, like, you know, since Leonard is young, he's not old like Duncan, and Duncan is still going to be around because he opted in to finally his contract at $10 million,
yeah,
no less. But anyway,
exactly.
The Spurs ain't going nowhere. The Spurs ain't going nowhere as long as they have still employed Greg Popovich and Karsi Buford as your manager. They're not going anywhere, and they show the rest of the league and the Heat how it's supposed to be done. The players are all homegrown. But at any rate, I'm going off on a tangent. But the point is that LeBron needs help. And
yeah,
the way the Miami Heat is currently constructed, it ain't happening. No one he had opt out. But what's surprising to me was that Bosh and Wade opted out as well. So the question now is, why do you think they opted out? And, you know, do they expect a big money grab? And if not, where would they end up? In your opinion, if they end up back in Miami? And what's the chance of Miami ended up back there? I personally think that all three are coming back there, but what do you think? Come back, I should say.
And see, that's the thing. I'm glad you brought that up because, of course, when everyone opted out, one of the main things that I've heard people say was they're expecting all of these guys to go and get their money, which I doubt very seriously. I completely believe that these guys will end up re-signing or signing somewhere probably no less than $16 million. So I'm thinking somewhere between the range of $13 to $16 million. I don't think anyone's going to be bold enough to do the Tim Duncan and take it down to $10 million. But I'm thinking these guys will all take a cut. I don't think any of them will be really willing to go someplace else and take more money unless they believe that they're going to go somewhere where they probably won't contend, and they'll go ahead and take the max deal if at all possible, if anyone actually offers it to them. Because I'm thinking, who's going to ever offer D. Wade the max deal?
Right.
I don't think anyone now. And who's going to be willing to step out on faith and offer Chris Bosh a max deal?
Yeah, I don't see that.
That's going to be a,
I don't see anybody being,
you know,
yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, who's going to be willing to do that? And I don't think anyone will be. And we already know that Miami won't be. So I'm thinking the best thing for them will be to go ahead, take the pay cut, take about that range. Because I'm thinking if they do take that range, somewhere between 14 to 16, they will be able to bring in another big name. If they're also willing to sign up around that same range as well and still have a ton of money to go ahead and get other quality bench players to help them out and play. If that happens, trust me, if they are able to sign those three guys under $16 million and get another big name for under $16 million, these guys, the Miami Heat, will retool and they're going to be dangerous. If they don't, then it's going to be an issue. Well, I shouldn't say they're going to be dangerous yet because it's still up in the air on who they want to sign to play their bench, because that's going to be another situation, you know, that I think will be something to keep an eye on. And also another thing that they're going to have to do, in my personal opinion, is sign young legs so that their big three doesn't have to play as many minutes. If anything, like you said earlier, people should be watching the San Antonio blueprint and following that in terms of having your superstars take less money, being able to play your younger talent in addition with your key talent, giving them minutes so they'll be confident enough to play in the finals, or, well, in the playoffs leading to the finals, and having that confidence and give you the quality minutes and quality points so that you don't have to rely on your big three the whole time. Because of the fact that LeBron James, Dean Wade, and Chris Bosh have played a ton of minutes, played playoff minutes, finals minutes, Olympic minutes, All-Star game minutes. These dudes have been on the floor for a very long time, and that's why it's very rare that you see anybody go to three consecutive finals, let alone four consecutive finals, and to say that they're going to do it a fifth time is almost Well, it's almost impossible and damn near amazing.
Yes.
Because I can't. That's the last team that I can think of that has done it five times straight has been the 60s Celtics.
Right. Right.
You know.
Right.
So the only way that they want to be able to do it is to, in my opinion, to get in younger talent, younger good talent to help spell them. And I really don't think that Carmelo is the answer, because if you named a lot of the detriments that I talked about with the Miami Heat,
yep.
Carmelo has those same things. Rebounding issues with Miami. Carmelo doesn't answer the rebounding issues. Defensive issues. Carmelo doesn't do that either. And we know
he's
that Carmelo... Not at all, you know. And then when you look at situations with Carmelo, when he's not doing well offensively, his defense suffers more. So
right.
it just becomes another issue there. And you know, it's easy to bring in Carmelo. And I mean, he'll help out with the points, but the defense and the rebounding, well, I don't think will ever be resolved if they do that, unless they're able to get somebody extremely young in there to take the less money, and he just becomes dynamic off the bench.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, like, Carmelo, he's alert to defense. So if he's going to have to go in a place where he's going to have to be covered, there's defensive efficiencies have to be covered so he can show his offensive game when suffer. Which brings
exactly.
us to, which brings us to Mr. Anthony himself. Now, me being a Knicks fan, the selfish part of me, selfish diabolical Knicks fan in me, wants him to stay, obviously, because he's by far one of the better superstars we've ever had, outside of Patrick Ewing and going back, you know, Bernard King, and
yeah.
Go back further than that.
Walt Frazier, you know.
Walt Frazier.
Willis Reed.
Yeah, Walt Frazier, Willis Reed, and as well as Earl the Pearl. So... But this is my conundrum, though. If he wants to win, if he's serious, he's all about winning, he should run as far as he possibly can from the court. now, where I think where he should and right, very well might end up is in Chicago. Because think about
mm-hmm.
it. Look at how Chicago did the past two playoffs without Derrick Rose. They were still competitive. Now, albeit this year they got bounced by your Wizards, right? The Wizards obviously were the better team. But the year before that, remember, they won the opening round series against the Brooklyn Nets, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they gave the Miami Heat all they could handle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just without, you know, that's without a bona fide score.
Yeah.
Now imagine a healthy Derrick Rose with Joakim Noah, with all those rough crowds on defense, and insert Carmelo Anthony. Can you say a damn near favorite to represent the East, and to not only represent the East, but win the title? Because they actually have a team that those boys are deep. They're like,
exactly.
they're San Antonio-like. That's what I call Chicago, San Antonio-like. They play defense. They have a system where they don't have a star, but they get back, well, some of the other parts, right?
Mm-hmm.
So imagine Carmelo in there. I mean, granted, he still has to play a little defense, but since he's a superstar, and that's what, well, Tom Thibodeau, the coach, preaches defense. He's one of the best at it, if not the best. But he still has Rough Riders covering his backside and Joakim Noah, like I said, Noah, Oz Gibson, and a bunch of those boys. They probably have the amnesty loser. But, you know,
yeah.
Again, who's to say that Boozer couldn't be brought back at a cheaper price? So just picture that for me. Picture that for me. How
you know what?
How devastating would that be for Bulls fans?
It would be extremely devastating. It would be extremely fantastic for them as well because, I mean, you're absolutely correct. And if you looked at the playoff series against Washington this past year, their main
mm-hmm.
issue was they could not score. They were even able to
right.
hold Washington down offensively. But if they were able to have another scorer on that team, they would have easily beaten Washington in the first round of the playoffs. There would have been no question.
Sure.
But you're absolutely correct. Ooh, yeah, he. God, if there's some way that they could potentially even just trade Boozer, which I completely doubt, I don't think anyone would be willing to take his almost $17 million worth of salary onto the books just for 1 year.
That'd be stupid to you. That'd be stupid to you. Right.
Yeah. You know, it would be a fantastic option for them to go ahead and to see him, bring in Carmelo. If Carmelo's actually able or willing to take, once again, I love that range of 14 to 16, which I doubt very seriously a lot of these superstars will take. But if someone is willing to do so, they would be able to go ahead, in my opinion, sign someone like a Greg Monroe to come in and help out at that four spot or even that five spot alongside of Joakim Noah. And then to have Carmelo Anthony play the three, and if Derrick Rose comes back healthy, bring him back at the one, and then have, what's your boy's name? I'm seeing Jimmy Butler potentially start with him, or Taj Gibson to come in with the rotation. They would have an extremely nice team that is based on defense. They have an identity, and all he would just basically have to do is come in and do what he does, and you're absolutely correct. And that's the other thing, too. I think for immediate satisfaction for Carmelo, he would have to go someplace else. I don't think he wants to sit there and toil in New York for another year, wait for them to get their system, sit there with bad players who are on the books, even though the Raymond Felton trade helped him out with that as well, along with getting
a good time.
Yes, along with getting your boy out there as well, even though I still think he has like another year or two left in him. God, what is his name? I see his face. Beard. Played with...
you're talking about Chandler? Tyson Chandler?
Yes, that's Tyson Chandler. I think he has some more time left in him, and I think Dallas may be able to get that out of him. But I just didn't think that it was working out for him. And, you know, I thought bringing Raymond Felton back to New York would be a great asset to both the organization and to himself. But for whatever reason, he just couldn't turn it around after he left Denver. Because he had, my opinion, a very good first stint there, but the second stint just wasn't enough. But I really don't think that they right now have enough with Tim Hardaway Jr., Amari staying hurt, Calderon bringing him in. That team, I don't think they'll be ready this year coming up.
No, I know they won't, but I'll say this. The tricky part is that this is coming up on, this is like Amari's final year on his contract.
Uh-huh.
So, you know what they say about, expiring contracts being desirable. Like, somehow, some way, you know, they could use those to dangle to bring an asset to free up their potential team, that the AAA of particular team's cap space as well, because that's an expiring contract. They could buy him out. Who knows, right? But going back to Chicago has a lot of cap space. I forgot how much cap space. They have a lot of cap space. They could actually offer him being Carmelo, the max, like the 4 year, 90-some-odd million max, because they have crazy cap space. And especially if they amnesty Boozer, which I think they will, they'll be able to make a run like crazy at a superstar. And that's a desirable location. That's a desirable destination because they have a ready-made team. So like I said, if Carmelo actually is right about winning, which I think he is, I hope for his sake he is, then he'll run the hell out of New York and straight to Chicago. Now, here's the caveat with that. There's a reason why Carmelo forced his way to New York. He loves He loves playing on the big stage. His wife, Lala Vasquez, not Lala Anthony, loves it, obviously, because she's from there, right? Because happy wife, happy life, right? So,
yes.
But like I said, if New York were in the same position, salary cap-wise and contract-wise, as, say, Chicago is, or Dallas, or Houston, even, because Houston still could bring in a good name, or, hell, Miami, you know, it's just timing is just the timing has just been cruel to them, you know, because
yes.
the big expiring albatross of the contract, Amari Stoudemire, will be coming off next year, not this coming year, but the following year. So what Drill had to do, Phil Jackson, which I actually applaud, was he was able to jettison another huge salary in Chandler and the head case in Elton, and brought back mm-hmm. the serviceable part. I actually like Calderon. I think he's a good shooter for the triangle that Phil and Derek Fisher will be trying to implement. And,
yeah.
you know, I forgot the other two that they're bringing in. Oh, Ballenbear, which I think they'll probably buy out Ballenbear, and some other cat. And so they freed up some salary, but they're under the cap, but they're not under enough, obviously, to bring in another guy to ball with Carmelo. But if Carmelo were this Phil Jackson somehow talks Carmelo about the big picture, sticking around and saying that if you were in New York, man, you'd be immortal, which he would be. If you were winning a title mm-hmm. for the Knicks, his ass would be amongst the pantheon of the greats, man, especially in New York City and up in the Northeast. Just think of it this way. Marv will be gone in 2015. That's the same year, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook,
mm-hmm.
Kevin Love, and then
mm-hmm.
it'd be Desmond Bane, whoever he gets traded to, Rajon Rondo, all those guys. Think about that for a minute. If in the event that Melo takes my advice and runs straight to Chicago, they'll have even more cap space for the following year. So if you have like serviceable parts around them this year, and by the way, I do love that Calanthony early draft pick by the Knicks in the second round. I love that pick. But at any rate, if Tim Hardaway Jr. continues to develop,
mm-hmm.
you have a decent team for a superstar to sit and look at and say, hey, this would probably work for me. Especially, like I said, with all those players coming available next season. So it's very tricky. It's very, very tricky. I mean, I would actually, my jaw drop a bit if Anthony does stay in it. But saying what I just shared with you, I could kind of understand if he's thinking longer term, I guess, if he thinks
mm-hmm.
that Phil Jackson work his magic and short guys into coming and balling. He's already out the Paul Gasol right now, where on the street is.
Yeah.
But, so if he works that, then who knows? You know?
And that's what I find kind of interesting about the New York situation, too. We did talk about it, and I actually have to correct you. This year, I think coming, is Amari's last year on the books for the Knicks. So,
that's right.
You know, this will be his last year. And, I always mispronounce this dude's name. Andre Bargnani?
Yeah, Bargnani.
Yeah. This coming year is also his last year in the books, and everybody
right.
else on the
right.
on contract right now is making $7 million or less. So they
right.
would have a ton of money to spend after this season to try to bring
mm-hmm.
some free agents in there and turn this franchise around. So
yes.
once again, that magic number, if Carmelo is willing to at least sign some sort of deal where he starts out around 14, 15 million in his first couple of years, and they're able to bring in somebody or somebody's else to come play in 2015, the Knicks' fortunes will change that much quicker. And I just want to see what Phil Jackson can do as a team president in terms of selecting players to play
yep.
and see if he will be able to do what he did in other places as a head coach. Because I think if he can, it would be a very interesting situation come New York, come the summer of 2015, and what type of players
yeah.
they'll be interested in bringing in. But it,
yeah.
it'll be predicated on whether or not Carmelo would, one, be patient enough and brave enough to stay the 2014-15 season and wait it out a year, or if he feels as though that he can go someplace else and potentially win a ring quicker. You know, but I agree with you. I completely think that he would end up in Chicago, with Miami being a close second in signing him and bringing him in to play for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's the thing. That's why I say I think, in my heart of hearts, like I said, the Knicks fan of me does not want it to happen, but I think I'm also a pragmatist. So I think that he's going to end up at Chicago Bulls. When it's all said and done. Now, which would be good news in the sense of my Knicks, in the standpoint that we have a hell of a lot of money to spend next season.
Oh, my God.
You know?
They have a ton of money to spend.
Yeah, a lot to make. And also, we can make a run out of Paul Gasol right now. Just bring him, not make him a max deal, obviously, but bring him in. And bring in, you know, maybe get involved in the Kevin Love sweepstakes, even though I don't think he's a difference maker. He's a good game changer, but not a difference maker. That makes any sense. And then anticipate the free agent bonanza of the following season. Again, Kevin Durant is going to be a free agent.
Yes, he is.
Rajon Rondo is going to be a free agent.
Rajon Rondo may be on the trading block.
That's true, too.
In next month, which was very interesting. When I saw Boston make that draft pick, I said to myself, wow, they really either think that they're going to lose Rajon or they're going to trade him. So I'm watching what Boston does in the next month. If they hold on to him, it'll be interesting. But if they trade him, you know, I mean, they have the quality of play. Well, we don't know yet. We don't know what he'll turn out to be until he actually gets out on the floor. But we have hopes of what is his name? The point guard at Boston.
Marcus Smart.
Yes, Marcus Smart. That's right. You know, we don't know exactly what it is that he'll be able to do, but we see what he's potentially capable of doing when he was at Oklahoma State and what we hope for him to be able to do. But if I'm Boston, I'm pumping the brakes right now before I even think about trading him just to see what happens. But they do have a fantastic, you know, fallback option if he does end up leaving at the end of the year.
He will. Reggie's not going to stick around doing a rebuild. He's as good as gone. And I think that Danny Ainge and them knows that. Know that.
Yeah.
Deep down inside, they know that. So, again, you know, him. And Russell Westbrook. Will he be a free agent along with Durant, or is it the following season after Durant becomes? I think he kind of contract a year after, maybe. I forgot.
Unless there's some sort of early option for him, it's a possibility that he may be a free agent for the following year. But he was drafted a year or two after. Let's see.
Right, that's true.
He's on the books for Oklahoma City up until the end of 2017.
Okay.
So 2017, 2018 is when he'll become a free agent.
Okay. Gotcha. That works. But, yeah, so basically we're in agreement, I believe, that Carmelo Anthony will end up in Chicago Bull. So as far as LeBron James go, where do you think he'll end up? Just to recap.
I'm sticking Miami. The only way that I don't see him staying a Heat, it'll be a complete surprise to me. But as of right now, everything seems to be leaning in his favor, and it will be fantastic for him to do so because of, once again, leaning back to the San Antonio playbook, team continuity, where you already know the system with Spoelstra, you already know the organization with Pat Riley, and you already know that the team is committed to win, especially with you. And I'm thinking that they will do whatever they can in order to help this guy out so that he wins. So, yeah, anything outside of Miami would be a complete shock to me.
Me too.
and you know, I was really thinking that he may leave, but everything was all depending on what D-Wade and Bosh does. Right now, who I'm more concerned about is whether or not Chris Bosh and D-Wade actually stay for Miami. That'll be an interesting thing to watch, to see if the Heat have, and I mean, you've seen it with other players like Tim Hardaway and Juwan Howard and Alonzo Mourning in terms of them caring for players that have played within their organization. Will they have that same feeling towards those two guys and continue to sign them on, but at a lower cost?
Gotcha. So speaking of Bosh and Wade, I know this podcast centered around mostly LeBron and Carmelo. Just for last, what do you think those two? Where do you think those two are going to end up? Just quickly, where do you think they're going to end up?
It'll be very interesting, God, because like I said before, D Wade is the monster that Miami built. You know, everyone was complaining about him, you know, being hurt, you know, said that a ton of times during this podcast. Everyone's been complaining about how hurt D-Wade has been. But Miami was the only team that rewarded him, even though this dude barely been playing for them. He's only had, like, 5 seasons where he's played at least 70 games in a season. But they're playing him because of the fantastic things that he's done with the organization. Now,
nice.
I don't see anybody else giving this dude a huge deal. It'll be interesting to see, because we haven't really heard anybody as of right now really interested in those two guys. Because I don't think anyone really expected them to opt out either. But, you know,
right.
Come Tuesday, it'll be interesting to hear the names and the teams that put themselves in the D-Wade and the Chris Bosh sweepstakes. Where else would they go? Where else could they go? Wow. I'm sorry, Scott. It's kind of a toss-up because they can be in the Dallas sweepstakes because, you know, Dallas is trying to retool. It'll be interesting,
right,
especially if Dallas goes after Bosh, they end up doing with Dirk Nowitzki, who's also a free agent this year as well. Toronto could be a situation for Chris Bosh to go back to, which I think would be odd, but, you know, it'd be interesting. I'm trying to think who else would potentially be interested in either one of those two guys. As of right now, I really don't know. I'm going to start doing some research to see who would be a fantastic fit for these two guys outside of Miami.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too, because I don't see any team in their right mind, unless they're the highest of fucking kite, paying the Dwayne Wade, especially Chris Bosh, max dollars. That ain't going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't going to happen.
Max dollars, no. No, not at all.
It shouldn't. Let's put it this way: it shouldn't happen. So,
no.
Now, as far as Bosch's case, I think that he'd be better served in an effort staying in Miami Heat. But I don't know if they want him back. And here's why, right quick: because he's not a next player. And I think knowing Pat Riley, not that I know him, but knowing how he likes to conduct his business, right? That I think he'll tell him that. I said, you'll probably say something to the tune of, Chris, we love you. We're appreciative of what you've done for the organization. Yes, he's not a max player, so take it or leave it. You can, he's 13, he's 10, so take the shit or leave it. And I think he's better served to take it. And I think he'll offer Dwayne Wade a special type of privileges, either ownership stakes or what have you, in the Miami Heat organization from now to the end of time, because he is the face of the Heat. He was with them when they won their first title with Shaquille O'Neal. He carried that team.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's earned a lot of collateral. So I think that while the Heat will not give him max dollars, I think that he's going to be offered somewhere in the neighborhood of 3 for $36 or 4 for maybe $48 or maybe $50 at the most. He's not getting, in other words, he's not getting a max. He's probably going to get like a three or four year contract, averaging probably 12 to $13 million a year, which is about right for him. You know, which is about right for him because he hasn't played a full season, to your point, ever. And his knees are worse than Earl Campbell, and that he has to sit out those large, long stretch of the season in a club with them in the final. So I think he might still be a Heat. He probably will be a Heat at the way that y'all said and done. I don't know if they want Chris Bosh back at the money that Chris Bosh may want. And I don't blame a cap for getting, wanting to get his money, but let's be realistic. The only place that would probably want to pay Chris Bosh close to max dollars is probably Houston, because they compare him with Dwight Howard, and that would just take the pressure off of what's his name, the beard, James Harden.
Over James Harden. It would take a ton of pressure. That would be an interesting situation. The thing is, God, who, as you think long term, would be better though. Chris Bosh or Parsons, the free agent forward who was just who was on and drafted by Houston. As of right now, I'm looking at CBSSports.com. They have Chandler Parsons ranked 9th overall as available free agent, and they actually have Chris Bosh ranked 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking, you know, if you're thinking long term, I'm thinking if I'm Houston, I would bring back Parson because you may be able to get him at a lower cost. I'm thinking they're almost the same type of player. If you think about it, they're almost the same type of player with the exception that Chris Bosh has won rings, and we've also seen Bosh do it as a leader when he was in Toronto, bringing a team who wasn't a playoff contender into playoff status. But he is a little long in the tooth and has logged a ton of NBA minutes. So, if I was the Houston GM, that's what I would do. I would bring Parsons back over Bosh, but it's a possibility that Parsons may be asking for more dough, being that he is younger. So that, too, would be an interesting situation. So, In watching Chris Bosh, it'll be interesting because, like I said before, he will have other guys out there that are like him that are younger that just don't have that championship pedigree. But the thing with D. Wade is I don't think there's anyone in terms of his pedigree that is on his level. It's just the fact that his body is so broken down that it's going to hurt his stock.
Yeah.
Or it has hurt his stock, actually.
Right, that hurt a big time. I mean, because he went from being a top five player to being, in my opinion, to be on the outside looking in as far as top players in the game right now. So I think that it really is too bad, but it is what it is, right?
Very.
That it's just not going to happen for him. But we'll see. Like I said, I don't think that I would be shocked if Dwayne Wade does not go back to the Miami Heat for that reason. And I would be really shocked if someone offers Chris Bosh max dollars. But outside of the possibility of him being a member of the Houston Rockets, I could easily see Chris Bosh coming back to the Heat as well. Because it's all about unfinished business. And I think that those guys I think when Pat Riley pretty much called Gus Katz out in his press conference way back when, I didn't think he was playing. And I think those cats, those three cats, is going to heed the call. You know, I think they're going to answer. They're going to respond. They're going to man up and do the damn thing in Miami. I think. I think the big three are going to be that. Probably like Dwayne Wade and Bosh at reduced rates, but LeBron is thinking the max contract. So that's the intriguing thing is, did he opt, and I think you made a point earlier, he opted out first to say, to put the onus on Wade and Bosch, hey,
yeah.
Here goes me opt out too, because I'm worth more to them than you two are.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all know it, and everybody knows it. So that's why.
Wow. Speaking of free agency, I'm looking at a report now that this actually happened. What actually just came out while we've been speaking. The report is that Carmelo Anthony would start his free agency tour with the Bulls first.
There you go. He's going to be a Bull. If he comes back to New York, I'd be happy as a fan, but I'd be shocked as hell as a basketball fan. I mean, like I said, he should run like the wind. If he wants to win, take your ass to Chicago and stay there. No need to talk to other teams.
But you know what? I'm thinking, and I want to know if Carmelo may be thinking the same thing. Would I be able to win a ring quicker if I go to Chicago or if I were to stay in New York?
Mm.
And if you think about it, that's a very legitimate question.
Which is why I should go to the Bulls. You're winning a lot quicker there. You'll go to the Bulls when it's settled down.
I don't know, because as much as I would, Derrick Rose's knees are scary to me. When I think about players and their knees, especially in the NBA, it has been extremely difficult for these guys to come back and be exactly who they were, especially with D. Rose, because of the fact that his game is predicated on his speed. Now, when you talk about a Bernard King, who also had knee problems, his game wasn't necessarily speed. It was more or less his shooting ability and his ability to get to the rack to score. So with that, you know, that it wasn't too much of a detriment to him. And I would like to see if D. Rose can come back and be that Bernard King type of player in terms of his scoring. But only time will tell. Plus, D. Rose is a smaller guy than Bernard was or is. So it'll be interesting. Like I said, I'd really to know if Carmelo is thinking, where would I be able to win a championship first? You know, and it has to be predicated on, as a matter of fact, before I even go meet with the Bulls organization, I'm having to sit down and talk with Derrick Rose first. If I'm Carmelo, that's where I'm going first. I don't even think I'm meeting with the Bulls organization. I'm talking to Derrick Rose, and I'm hanging out with this dude, and I want to see this dude work out, and I want to see how he feels, because offensively, I know for a fact, in order for them to win a championship, they're going to need the both of them to be able to score.
Yes.
Because if it's just Carmelo that's scoring, it's going to be an issue for them. And I don't think they get past the semis, even in the East. But if it's the both of them, it's going to be a dangerous duo with the potential of whoever else they may be interested in bringing in as well.
Right. You make a good point, brother. I mean, if anything, what LeBron taught us in Cleveland, you know, Cleveland had those good teams, but it was just him. And you need more than one score. You make a damn good point, actually. So you're right. So, hell, you had me more optimistic now. Going back to Nick.
Because, I mean, case in point, what happened to the Miami Heat? Yeah, Bosh and D-Wade were able to average about 15 points a game apiece, but they couldn't get scoring anyplace else than other than and they got about 10 almost out of Ray Allen, but outside of that, they couldn't get any scoring from anybody else.
Aside of like Ray Allen, they had like a seven man show in terms of like the depth. They weren't deep at all. San Antonio was so deep. I mean, they kept coming in waves, and you know that's why that's why they have to start all over, which is why those three had to opt out.
Yeah.
So that Riley, he put it on him, the onus on him, and said, okay, you might drop us, we're going to mic drop right back on you and order and have you guys spend more money and upgrade the talent around us. Now, Kyle Lowry is rumored to end to join the Heat eventually, which is a huge upgrade for point guard as well, to go to Shabazz Napier. And, you know, but they need to get younger. They need to get more talented depth-wise. You know, because that's what killed the Heat last year. But I have faith that Pat Riley will get it done, which is why, like I said, I would be shocked if those three cats don't come back because they'll be hungrier. It's all about unfinished business. They'll be deeper. They'll be younger, and they'll be better. So there you go. There you go. All right, my brother. Hey, thanks a lot for doing this on short notice once again.
No problem. No problem at all.
I really appreciate it. But next time, we're going to have, like, a barbershop talk, possibly on, like, you know, which NBA team is going to be on the rise for next season. You know, I already think a few right now, but we're going to get more in depth, like, probably sometime next week, hopefully, with the rest of the fellas and the usual suspects. And we'll have some fun with that.
Oh, that'll be fantastic.
Doing it. Hey, take care, brother. Enjoy the World Cup.
We'll do the same, man.
All right, peace out.
All right, peace.
All right, that's my man, Dwayne Nash, custom NBA free agency, high level. LeBron's whereabouts, Carmelo's whereabouts, the Big Three's possible whereabouts. I look at it this way. LeBron James opted out for a reason. I mean, you know, he has to see, okay, what is he going to do for him? Because we all know he's going to come back to the Heat. There's no way in the hell he's going to go back to Cleveland. Dan Gilbert is a dumbass of the way he's out when LeBron's way out the door. As for Melo, if he really wants to win, he's going to be a Chicago Bull, possibly by the end of the first of the season. I'll be shocked if he screams that back to the mix. As far as the rest of the Big Three, Wade Bosch, they're not getting a max contract anywhere. No team out there is stupid, that stupid. They're going to bury back in Miami. I think Miami's going to be the team to beat. I think the East is going to come down to Miami and Chicago and possibly Indiana. So that's how I see it. So thanks a lot for tuning to the podcast. This is Scott versus the Clown Hour. Good evening. 06 and all that. Peace out.